Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 12th of July, year 2018. And I am your host and chairman for this meeting, Pastor and Commander Dan. And this meeting is for the House of Jacob Israel and for those who want the truth. Today's agenda is to have an interview with Dr. Lawrence Blanchard, who is an excellent interview. We've done many shows in the past, and it's a great honor to have him back on with us here. I could tell you a lot about him from his website and from our previous interviews, but I'm going to let him tell you about that himself as we get into the interview. Before we do get into the main meat of this program, we do dedicate it to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelites of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. And again, we are in a mode today, we've changed it a little bit because of our guest, to where we will be able to take simultaneous callers. If you have a comment or question for either myself or for Larry, and again, we do ask that you use the features on your phones for self-muting, that would be nice. However, if I have to mute you, it's not because I don't want you to call, it's just simply to prevent feedback coming back through our phone system. Real quickly, Ezekiel 25:14, and I will lay vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Jacob Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh Elohim. So, okay, with that being said, Larry, welcome to the program, buddy.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Dan. It has been a long time since we've talked, but I'm so glad to be back with you.
Yeah, this is an honor. I just went back through my master list and did a search for your name, and I was shocked. I didn't realize we had done so many programs together way back then, but it's a nice reunion. I love hearing your story. Over 12, 13 years ago when I first interviewed you, that used to be one of the common feedbacks I had from the listeners, was that they really enjoyed your testimony. And if you don't, and let me real quick here, though, do you want to go by Larry or Dr. Blanchard? How would you prefer?
Larry's fine.
Larry's fine. Okay. Well, Larry, if you don't mind, I'll put you in the hot seat for a few minutes and just turn the mic over to you. And if you would, just kind of introduce yourself to a whole new audience. And also today we have Bank versus UTV out of Tampa. We're simulcasting with those folks, and they have a great audience over there as well. And so welcome to everybody. And go ahead, Larry, and tell them about your journey.
Okay, good. Well, I'll be brief about that. You know, I came to know the exclusive Israel covenant message after about, I'd say, the late 90s, mid-90s to late 90s. And I had come to the knowledge of it through the study of law. I had a keen interest at that time in law. I had gone to 1 year of law school, but then I began to find out what was going on and decided that that was wasn't going to be the route. But I had a keen interest in understanding where our laws came from in America, and of course came to constitutional law and then common law, and studied some of the masters of, you know, that our founders were familiar with, and Blackstone and so forth. And what happened was that I came across a comment by Blackstone that the common law was based on the Ten Commandments. And somewhere along the way, I also discovered that this was unique among the European people, Northwestern European people. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Why is it unique among them and no one else? And so further investigation ensued, and God put some people in my life to show me a little bit more accurately who was who in this world system. And so I found out that the European people were the descendants, physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I started to put two and two together, and I thought, wow, I need to go back and I need to study the scripture again. And, you know, I have a master's degree level in from Denver Seminary. I've been studying the Bible and reading the Bible for years, but of course not acquainted with some of the more accurate ways and identification of who is who. And with that knowledge, I began to begin at the beginning of the scripture and just all the way through. And there were a couple of questions that I had to find out. Number one, was it consistent with what the new information that I had learned? Were the people of the Bible consistent from beginning to end? And were the covenants consistent? And I soon found out as going through this that the Bible was the unfolding plan of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to actually reveal his kingdom plan and purpose for his chosen people. And, of course, this opened up a brand new understanding, and the Bible became alive to me because I was one of those people. And I thought, this is about me. So it was a revelation, and I had, from the beginning, a keen desire, burning desire to help my people know who they were and that the Bible was about them. And so I ensued to write my first book called Standing on the Premises in the late 90s, and followed that with a book called Did All Races Come from Adam? And I thought, well, that's good. My job is done. But soon I began to discover that these two books, although important, it was too fast. It was too steep a gradient of learning for people. So I thought, you know, I have got to start over again and start much more slowly and build a foundation from the scripture, from history, to help our people understand who they are and that the scripture is about them and they are a special chosen covenant people and they have a purpose for them that is an ultimate purpose and significance of their lives. And so I authored those books called the Covenant Heritage Series, and you can find them on yourbiblicalheritage.com. I have finished book 6, and I'm on to book 7, at least doing the research on it, and that'll be it for the series. But what we've done, and I'll just be brief, Dan, because I know you want to jump in here probably, but what we've also decided that want to do a DVD teaching series based upon these books so that it will be easier, even easier, for our people to have an audio-visual presentation. And we designed it so that it could be interactive, so that they would have a personal course notebook, for example, as they go through the course of study that will really take them through the Bible in a very unique historical approach that I have not seen anyone do. So we're really excited about that.
Oh, man, yeah, that sounds like right on point, especially at this time when so few people have a lot of time for reading. Some of the younger people really don't have very good reading skills, unfortunately. So anything that you can do to help that along, and it sounds like that's right on track, and anything we can help to do to help get that out, certainly count us in there with you, Larry. It's so important. That's why Yahweh has led me just recently to pick up using this conference call method instead of the typical radio format that I'd used for so long. And it's working out very, very well. And I have started to do short little videos trying to hit salient points that of misconception in the church world. And that so far has been going very well, too. So let me give out your website again, because, folks, you really do need to bookmark this website, yourbiblicalheritage.com. And the series of books is Covenant Heritage Series, and you can order those books on there. Now, I still have Standing on the Premises and Did All Races Come from Adam, because that's how you and I first got together, Larry, and it's a phenomenal read. So I'm assuming you've taken the information from those books and that's now incorporated into the current books. Is that true?
Yes, that's right, Dan. And what we did was actually break it down into smaller bites, you might say, you know, so people can just take it step by step. And the Bible Mastery Bootcamp, which we're calling the DVD teaching series, actually does that. It just takes, small little sections and progressively goes through the scripture. And, we're just so excited about this because, as you say, the reading skills, and even among adults, are not as good as they, once were. And so they need audiovisual. That's what they like. And so not only can we do this on DVD, but we hope to do it on the Internet as well, so people can go into a membership site and use this 24/7. And so it's coming along. It's going to be about a year, we hope, before we actually launch this, but we are working diligently as time permits.
Yeah, time is getting short, is the feeling most of my listeners and myself included. We seem to be at that point. We think we're running out of time here. We're quickly approaching the end of the age and some tumultuous things. As you can see, the wicked rising up all around us, unhinged. I mean, these people are just in your face nowadays. It's unbelievable. I'll tell you what, you didn't go into a whole lot of detail, but I wanted to just ask you to touch base with us in your past, because I found it so phenomenal when you and I first talked. Now, you had a master's degree in seminary, correct?
Yes.
So that's a lot of training, and yet in all of that training, they don't cover this part of the message, do they? They don't cover anything even remotely close to this, do they?
Well, that's a very good comment and observation. And, it's interesting as I look back on 3 years of graduate school, right? 3 years. And my fellow students and I, we talk among ourselves and so forth. And I remember, this will be kind of interesting to you, one particular day I was listening into a conversation between some students and a particular professor, which happened to be an Old Testament professor. And he was talking about that the New Testament professors and Old Testament professors, some of them would carpool together to school and then carpool back, to their homes at the end of the day. And the subject matter of discussion between them usually revolved around which context is the right context, because they assumed that the Old Testament was about Israel, but the New Testament was about everybody else on the planet, and including Israel. So they couldn't agree on that. And of course, you had the Old Testament people said, "No, it's the Old Testament rules and the context," and then the New Testament professors would say, "No, the New Testament rules," and finally, they had to come to a conclusion. The only agreement they could come with, too, is that the New Testament context ruled because it was a later revelation. That was their excuse. And so they completely were not informed themselves. I don't think they knew what the truth of the matter was of who these so-called Jews were in the Bible and the Gentiles, as the house of Judah and the house of Israel in that biblical context. So they didn't know. And I think they had questions in their own mind, but of course you just had to plow through the information, and take the test and graduate. That's what we were there for. But in the meantime, I learned tools to learn how to study, which was a very valuable thing for me. And I've applied those to my teaching in my books. But they didn't know. Nobody knew. They assumed, of course, what most people assumed, that the Jews of today were Israel, that the Gentiles were everybody else on the planet. And that was their unproven premises, and that was never challenged.
Yeah, that's what's amazing to me, is that this information is glossed over. I don't know if you're familiar with the biblical archaeologist Stephen Collins up in Michigan.
Yes.
Okay, have you read his books by any chance?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay. Well, he mentions in those books that academia knows the information, but they refuse to discuss and or teach it. And that's what I found amazing. This information, it's not like it's not recognized. It's just glossed over. It's refused to be talked about. So that tells me there's a conspiracy, Larry. Now tell me if I'm wrong, but that smacks of conspiracy when something like that goes on. Is that not true?
Yes, and you know, I think you're right. There are some who do know and are not saying, and there are some genuinely that I don't think know at all. But it's hard for me to understand how it would be possible for the latter to be the case, since there are so many contradictions that they would have to jump over and gloss over, as you say, in order to arrive at some consistent theological conclusion. There may be may indeed be a conspiracy, because it's too glaring, and the information out there, as you know, Dan, about who the Jews are, that has to be known by them. And if so, that they are not the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob tells us, and should tell them, that hey, there's something radically wrong here. There's something going on here that is not making sense.
You would think that would pique some curiosity, as it did me. And I think I told you the story that my wake up came back in the 1990s, when a very good friend of mine from Tennessee used to take a walk at lunchtime for exercise around the compound where we were working. And one day he just looked at me and he said, "By the way, Dan, was Jesus Christ a Jew?" And at that time, of course, I was unaware, and so I answered as a typical Judeo-Christian, and I said, "Well, of course he is." And he goes, "No, he's not." And I got very angry. He wouldn't recant, and I got angry, and so we split, and we didn't walk again for like 2 or 3 weeks. I can't remember, but we finally did get back together, started walking again, and he did it to me again. So two or three weeks later, he says, "By the way, Dan, did you figure it out yet?" And he goes, "Was Jesus Christ a Jew?" And I said, "Gosh darn it, Larry." I said, "It's right there in plain black and white." And he just laughed and he said, "No, it wasn't." So I got angry again and I marched off. And it was, I think, 3 or 4 weeks after that. I can only say it must have been the Holy Spirit, but something told me to go to a Christian bookstore and look up and look through the books, and I was guided to the concordances. Now, I was raised in the Methodist Church. I didn't even know a concordance existed. That's how little research is done. Yep. I was 30-some years old and didn't even know what a concordance was.
Yep.
And I was attending church from the time I was a child all the way through that period of time. And yet, here's the thing that's a valuable research tool, and I didn't even know it existed. So I bought one. I bought a Strong's Concordance, and I went home, and it was about a week or two after that, I found Larry at work, and I said, "Okay, Larry, I owe you an apology." I said, "It's as plain as the nose on your face that our Messiah was not a Jew as we know Jews today." And it started that long trek from that point on. But something as simple as that, I mean, if it's not a conspiracy, when it's so simple, how can somebody like me attend a Methodist church for 30 some years and never even in any Sunday school lesson or any sermon was anything ever mentioned about checking the definitions of the Greek and Hebrew words to help to properly translate what was going on in Scripture. And so this great lie that Jesus Christ was a Jew is one of the foundational blocks of why we're all so messed up today. It blows my mind. Hey, I just noticed off your website that you're up in Idaho now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. How's that going up there?
Well, I must say that it is, we're in the North Panhandle here, about 70 miles from the Canadian border, and it is absolutely gorgeous country. And of course, spring and summer and fall, it's like paradise up here. And so it's, in that respect, it's good. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of opposition. You know, this is kind of ground zero up here for opposing forces of people who are white, who want to be separate, and who want to live among themselves. And then there are those who are determined to rout out any kind of white separatism or white movement whatsoever. And it's a big battleground, and it's kind of interesting. And you know, we've all been, they have been taught to cower, you know, with any kind of discussion, open discussion of the issues of race of the day. And they just kind of back into the corner and say, hey, we understand that, but we don't want anything to do with it right now.
Yeah, which is exactly the opposite of what Christ taught. We're supposed to act like warriors. We're supposed to stand up against ignorance and lies and deception. And really, the church world, I call it churchianity because it's more like a business than it is an actual belief system. But in churchianity, they have been completely dehorned as far as being effective about anything. I mean, I've had this discussion with some of my elders in the family that have been strong churchgoers their whole life, and they've had to admit it here lately that the church has pretty much been neutered. I mean, it's impotent. It doesn't stand in the way of even protecting the unborn, which is the most innocent blood that can be imagined, and we can't even defend that.
That's right.
So we went from being the church militant, which is what Christ established, the church militant, to cucks. We're basically snowflakes and cucks and kowtowing to some of the most criminal, bizarre behavior that can even be imagined. I shake my head, Larry. I really do. I shake my head and just marvel at it. Now, in your bio on your website, you were talking about there was a period of time when you sort of broke from the ministry and then later on came back to it. Did you want to talk about that at all? What kind of things brought you back, or what opened your eyes to the truth?
Yeah, you know, after seminary, my wife and I went to the Philippines as missionaries. And we were there for 6 years. We spent a little time here in the States in between years, but a total of 6 years. And my wife was a missionary kid, so she grew up in the Philippines as her American white parents were missionaries over there. Her dad was one of the famous surgeons in the medical mission world. And her mom was a nurse, and they had built 3 hospitals over there in the Philippines. And my wife had gone to boarding school called Faith Academy in Manila, and she had spent, you know, 3 years there. And so we went back there to actually be boarding parents, and then I was chaplain for a little bit. We came back after 6 years, and I became a pastor of a church, small church in California, and really doing fairly well. And about 2 years into it, God just began to wreak havoc in the church. And I'm sure some of it was my fault, but it got to the point where I couldn't stay in the ministry anymore. And I think God just, he took me out. He leveled me spiritually, financially. And I was devastated. I thought, God has abandoned me. I have no interest in the scriptures anymore. And for 2 years I was like that. It was a devastating experience. But God had, looking back, God had really done that work in me to level that foundation so he could build a new one. And that's when I began to study law, and that's when I began to be introduced to the exclusive Israel message. And it was a trying time, Dan, but it was one that our God of our fathers used tremendously. I think sometimes, Dan, he has to hurt us deeply before we can be used by him.
Amen to that. I can remember exactly when that happened for me, and it was dark, 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 dark days. Literally just going to work and coming home and feeling so depressed and so powerless to resist the evil that was happening, that would just lay on the bed and sob and pray and read Psalms and listen to the music of Jonathan David Brown or Carl Klang or Susie Meredith or any of the identity singer-songwriters that are out there that produce such beautiful music. That was the only solace I had, and just stayed in my room. I didn't want to see anybody, forlorn. I had read many years when I was in the Methodist Church where it talked about praying and crying out with hot tears. Well, I didn't identify with that until I went through this period. And then I knew exactly what that's talking about. And yeah, you're right. It is a life-changing experience when you are basically broken down to that point, and you literally have nothing to lean on except your faith in the Father, and that's it.
That's right. Exactly.
So, and then from that point on, you become, as you said, a new creature in the Father, and then you're able to do greater works. From the state of affairs, it seems like the remnant's a pretty tiny remnant, Larry.
Well, it is now, but I do believe that's going to change. As our people began to experience the oppression and tyranny of the enemy, and as we, not only in America, but Canada, Australia, all England, I mean, in Europe, the things that are happening in the countries of our people are increasingly devastating. And we're just trying, our people are trying to find a place to flee again because they're not suited for this diversity business.
Right.
So they are, I think, being backed into a corner and perhaps hopefully come to a place where the only place they can look is back to their heritage, back to the God of their fathers. And that is my prayer for them. And that's our hope, to give them some materials, some tools to be able to come back with knowledge and understanding of who they are, and who their God is. And I believe, Dan, with all my heart, that we're going to see a tremendous new awakening. And I think that's going to be the case.
And a revival.
Yes.
And it reminds me of the scripture that says that at some point the children will look to their fathers, which is just a biblical way of saying look to our ancestry, look to our And in fact, there was a great sermon I watched recently by a guy who dug into the commandment that says honor your father and your mother. And I have to admit, I always wondered about that because so many mothers and fathers really don't deserve honor. I mean, really, they don't. And he said, he goes, when that was written, that was a Aramaic expression to honor Abraham and Sarah. They were the ones worthy of your honor. Honor your race. Honor your ancestors that both cared about their race and our Heavenly Father and obeying His law. They're the parents that deserve your honor and respect and your emulation, not necessarily your earthly parents, because they're obviously fallible and everything else. So I said, you know what, that makes perfect sense. So it's not that we're to dishonor our earthly parents, but you don't hold them up on a pedestal like you do Abraham and Sarah, because they were basically the standard that our whole tribes look to for thousands of years. So that makes all the more sense in the world, you know, just like when I got that concordance, and for the first time, 30-some years in the church, nobody could tell me why a commandment would say, thou not, shalt not kill, when our people kill all the time. We execute criminals. We kill soldiers that invade our lands. You know, if people break into our houses, it's called self-defense. I said, so, but nobody could explain it. 30-some years, and all the elders, all the preachers, all the lay preachers, nobody could answer the question. And here I flip open that $15 concordance, and I go right to the word, and I'm going, well, right there's the answer. The original word was murder. Thou shalt not commit murder. Well, that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, sure does. Yep.
So it's just amazing to me. So now, you offer those books. Now you say you're working on the seventh book. You've got six available right now. I think I saw on your website you're offering a special if somebody wanted all six books.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. If they wanted all six books, they get a discount. I'm not sure exactly what that is. I'll see here in a minute here. I think it's $137 for all six books, including and plus shipping. It's priority shipping, but I think just you can't put a value on it. You know, it's just all the information is there for those who really want to study the scriptures really for themselves. And, you know, I try to back up everything with scripture point after point so that there's no mistake.
Well, I've read your other books, and I haven't got the new ones, but I have your older books, and I can attest to the fact that you're an excellent author. You have a way to present the information, and it's easy to follow. It's in layman's terms, but you do back up your statements and your premises with facts and references and all that sort of thing. So I'm going to tell the audience out there, they may think that's a lot of money, but what's the truth worth to you? You know, I've often wondered about that, Larry. When I was younger, I almost was glad to give guys like you money. I mean, I wasn't poor, but I wasn't rich, but I always looked at it as the workman is worth his hire. And how many people have been through what you've been through? Not very many. And for you to be able to take all of that training, all of those steps and miles that you have walked, all of the trials and tribulations, all of the revelations, and you boil it down into six books, which reveals not only what you have ascertained, but a explanation of what the Father's trying to tell us about who we are and where we are in this world and why we're in so much trouble. And to be able to get that for $100 and some, I mean, I know people pay that much to go to a damn concert, and listen to a bunch of screaming banshees up on a stage that are spewing garbage out, and they think that that's a bargain, and paying $20 for a mug of watered down beer. So I look at it this way. You know, I know you. I've known you for a long time. I know the kind of quality work you do, and I know the value of what this message teaches. I mean, here's a case in point, and the audience needs to know this, all right? Lately, I've been talking to a lot of people about health issues because I'm a certified natural health professional, and I've got my daughter's a nurse. I've got a lot of friends who are in nursing or medical, and so that comes up a lot. Well, here's a case in point where this information can literally save your life. Okay, yep. Because once you realize that we have deceivers walking amongst us, and not everything in shoe leather is a friend, unlike the church world, which they think anything walking on two legs is your brother. Well, that's ridiculous. So once you realize that there's a deception going on and you have an enemy that is trying to hurt you and harm you, both because they hate you and because it's profitable to them, you start looking into everything. So that caused me to question the foods, how the food's prepared, the medicines, the vaccines. I questioned all of that. And now at 65 years of age, I feel better than I did 20 years ago. Most of the people that know me say I don't look my age. I don't act my age. Of course, that can be a bad thing sometimes. But the point of it is that I have circumvented so many of the medical pitfalls that have befallen my relatives, my dear friends, acquaintances, and all that who are going through some horrendous medical situations, but those were avoided because I knew the truth. I was made aware by this message of the truth, and that helped me. And it gets all back to the Greek when it says that the Father will save you. That's not this feel-good, falling down, babbling in some unknown, what do they call it, the language of the angel. That's not what it was talking about. The Greek word soter has to do with saving you from physical harm here in this physical realm, not a spiritual realm. It's a physical saving that the Father's talking about. He said, my law, it will bring you salvation. That's what it's talking about, not what the church world teaches. It's talking about the fact when you know this truth, it's going to save you from political harm, financial harm, medical harm, educational harm, all those kind of things. Does that make sense?
Yes, and very well said too, Dan. And, you know, I just might add here that, you know, my books, I don't make really any money on them. What I do is I put them back into actually creating a getting more copies. And so I've never made a cent really on these books, and I wish I did, but I don't. Now, if, you know, if I'm going to be selling, you know, tons of these things, then yeah, me, you know, I'm going to make profit. But you're right, you know, a man is worthy of his hire. I think these books are worthy. I wouldn't put them out if I didn't think that they were extremely valuable and helpful for people. And I commend them to your audience because I don't think there's, and I'm not bragging here, Dan, but I don't think there's anything like them out there that present the scripture in a systematic step-by-step way where people can easily grasp it. And at the end of the day, the conclusions are, I think, very clear and have tremendous implications for people's lives. And as you say, if they get that, it'll be worth every single penny of those books.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, back when I was working, I'm retired now, back when I was working, I used to challenge people by telling them that if you buy the books and don't like them, I'll buy them off of you. I've never had anybody take me up on it. But even in my reduced retirement stage, I have that much confidence in it that I would say that I would make the same offer. If somebody buys your books and doesn't like them, I'll buy them back off of them. for my library.
Yeah, or if they're not true, correct and certain according to the scriptures and the history, the testimony of the evidence. If they're not true, I'll buy them back.
Exactly. Well, I'll put a challenge out to the people out there. If you've got a few dollars laying around, or if you don't want to buy all of them, to me, that's the best way to do it. Buy all of them and get the discount. But just buy the first one or two. If you're not enthralled with them, then there's something wrong. Because, like I said, I've read your books before, Larry, and they're phenomenal in getting the point across. You don't bludgeon people with a hammer, and you lead them into the truth, which is exactly the way Christ did it. And you're not ashamed of the truth, and you're very bold with it, and you present it in a way it's easy to follow. And in this day and age, my God, we need that more than ever, because there is so much misinformation and lying going on and propaganda. It's just amazing sometimes. You know, your head almost spins with all this stuff going on. So I love the idea that you took the books that I have on my shelf and you've incorporated them into this new series, and then obviously you've also added other material in there. So it's basically a course material to bring you through the whole process of finding out what's wrong and where we've been deceived, how, and bring people out of that muck and mire into the light of day. You know, it's funny, I read George Lamsa has got a lot of material about the Aramaic idiomatic expressions used. And a lot of times in the Aramaic, when it refers to the sons of God, that was their way of saying people with wisdom and understanding as God. Not necessarily that you were spiritually that way, but to say that you carried and conducted yourself in a godlike manner, which is what I see your life as. You have become that, and you reflect his value system. And to me, that's what sons of God means. So, you know, these books can help that out. I can't wait to see your DVD series. That should be phenomenal. When that's available, we'll have to do another interview and talk about that and tell people how to obtain it, and you know how they might even be able to use it. So,
and our goal for that, Dan, is to get that teaching series, which it'll be a package. It'll be a DVD. But it will have a personal course notebook that follows the DVD, so it can be used individually, and it could be used in small groups. And also the textbook, which would be one of my books that complements the DVD series. And so they'll have three things. They'll have a DVD, a personal course notebook, and a textbook. And those three together, I think, will combine to help people to discover for themselves. That's really what we want to do, is help them to discover for themselves. Because at the end of the day, it's not my opinion that's important. It's not anybody's opinion that's important. It's only what the Bible says and what it means by what it says. And, you know, I had a Greek professor in seminary, Dr. Burdick, and he was probably my favorite professor. But he'd always ask his students, what does the Bible say? And in those days, you know, he was causing a ruckus even among the, you know, the seminary people, so I knew he was onto something. But I think that, you know, we're going to provide a tool, and our goal is to get one person in every county and every province of our people in every land this series, so that they can begin to teach others and start to form local fellowships. That's our big goal.
Yep. Plant seeds. Yep. Plant seeds. Absolutely. The more seeds, the better. Get that information out there, and I think great things will happen from that myself. So that's phenomenal. That is phenomenal. Like I said, I really enjoyed those books the years ago when I got them, and I had as many people buy them as I could get. and certainly lent it out to quite a few folks, with always the caveat that I better get it back. I didn't want them to leave my library shelf. So, you know, and it is nice that in this day and age that we have better tools. I think we have better tools. The internet is more accessible. It's faster. Computers have become much more able to handle some of these more sophisticated software programs, and they're allowing average people to do much more intensive research than they were able to do 15, 20 years ago. And so is no excuse now for remaining ignorant. There is absolutely no excuse whatsoever. But let me, again, we'll keep this. I'm going to post a link to your website on my website and put a little ad in there for the books and for the series, and tell them to keep an eye out for the DVD. But I want to sort of change topics here just a little bit, Larry, because, like I said, you've been around the block a few times, the same as I have, and you've got a whole different association of people around you. But what do you make of what's going on right now since the election of Trump and this whole thing of the below-the-radar screen that there's an alliance of good guys in intelligence and in military behind him that want to make this world a better world? Do you have anything on that, any gut feeling on it, or any kind of intel coming into you that could tell us, you know, is this all just a part of the show, and that the wicked are still on course for world domination, or is there a counter-revolution in the works?
That's a good question, Dan, and to be honest with you, I don't know. I've heard exactly what you're talking about. There are two sides here of things that are going on, and there may very well be. You know, I'm convinced that, you know, there was there's a movie out. It's called Revelation. It's by a friend of mine, Chuck Undersea is his name. And it's about this global New World Order system. And one of the people that they interview is this general who was the head of the Special Forces, you know, way back when during the Vietnam era. And he talks about his concern and some of the things that are going on. And I'm thinking, well, if he's concerned about it, he must have contacts, and he must.
Hello? You're breaking up, Larry. Hello? Hello? We can't hear you, Larry. Somebody must not like what you're talking about. We lost you, Larry. If you can still hear me, I don't know. I can't hear you. Okay, so I think Larry's going to call back in. It looks like
we are experiencing technical difficulties.
Oh!
You may not hear everyone on the call. You will be prompted when the conference is reconnected.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be dogged. So it's for the first time ever since I started using Free Conference Call, it's Free Conference Call is the problem. Not sure if it's an overload on the servers or what, because according to their literature, you can have up to 1,000 people on a call and they can handle it. So either it's false advertising or there's something else going on. In this day and age, who the hell knows? I mean, there's so much trouble with email and stuff like that lately, especially Gmail accounts bouncing all the time. So we don't know. Hopefully, Larry can call back in here in a second and be able to finish his statement there about the general special
this
forces.
This conference has been reconnected.
Okay. Okay, I've got Jimmy back on here, but I don't have Larry. So hopefully he'll call back in. And we do apologize. This is the first time this has happened. Of course, I've never done it at this time in the afternoon. Maybe there's a surge on the servers because of the time of day. I don't know. Usually I'm in the morning or in the evening, so not during the prime time on computer usage. So hopefully that's it. Let me fire off a quick note to Larry here and see if I can get him to call back in. Bear with me as I... somebody could send me either a message or text about the sound. Is everything back as far as that?
Okay, I'm back.
Oh, okay, there you are. Yeah, now I can hear you.
Yeah, I just got a recording saying that this thing was ended and there was no more recording, so I thought I'd call back.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did, because at my end here, what it told us was that there was a technical problem, and it would restore the call whenever that technical problem was resolved. So apparently, at least that part was true. They, they got Jimmy up there in Tampa, got him back on, and you're back on. So, and everybody else stayed on. So, that was a first. So anyway, you were telling us about the Special Forces General when you dropped off.
Yes. Anyway, he had mentioned, and I thought, well, if he's concerned about it, he knows what's going on. Certainly there are other military people, retired and so forth, who do know what's going on. And they may have, some sort of plan going on. I don't know, what I do know is that if God's people don't repent, none of the plans of man are going to work. And so that's what we need to keep getting our people the knowledge and understanding of who they are, but also helping them to understand Christ our Lord has sacrificed himself on a bloody cross for them, and they need to come to a brokenness and a repentance anew before anything of consequence is going to happen.
Amen to that. Well, that reminds me of the verse that says the whole world is in travail waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. And I believe that's where we're at. And also Ezekiel 37, when he talks about that army that comes up out of that valley of dead and dry bones, to me that's a biblical mental image of the world we live in today. Basically, most people are just bags of bones walking around. The spirituality of them is like zero. They're just existing. They think the whole world revolves around how many toys they've got or how many electronic gadgets they've got. The spiritual aspect or character or integrity is almost completely gone. So literally they're like zombies, which that Ezekiel description to me is what he's talking about. They are spiritual zombies until the Father himself pours out his spirit, which I think is what's happening. To me, that's what the Great Awakening is. People are becoming spiritual again. Not everybody, apparently, but a lot of people are retaining or coming back to a spiritual stance. And as soon as you do that, you realize that this world is a dark, dirty place. It's like Satan has unleashed the hounds of hell, and they have infiltrated the church. They've infiltrated the Catholic Church for sure. They've infiltrated government, banking, education, medicine, agriculture. Literally every major thing that you can think of has been completely adulterated by this invasion of these people. Is that how you see it?
That's right. It's a matrix, and it's all interconnected, and amazingly so. I mean, when I look at the interconnections going on, and I don't think we even know 1% of actually what all is going on, but it is dark. And but I think that this is the purpose of the God of our fathers, is to bring his people to his knees. To their knees, and I think this is what's happening, and we're getting ready. I think we're getting ready to say, hey, we have something for you that I think you're going to need and want.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. And again, you can count us in as helping in that effort in any way possible. I think the time is perfect. The timing of it's perfect to go hand in hand with this wake up. And certainly we need to get the people energized and become part of that Ezekiel 37 army. I call it the Gideon army. Remember, it just has to be the cream of the crop. And I've had a lot of people say, well, Dan, we're just small in number. And I said, well, last time I checked, Christ was an individual. He didn't have an army. He didn't have wagons full of chests full of gold, and he didn't have a priesthood or some great institutionalized church behind him, and yet he changed the whole world. And 12 Benjaminites that went around and were the light bearers to bring his message to the lost tribes, or the scattered tribes. I'd prefer to call them the scattered tribes. So it doesn't take huge numbers. I mean, the Bible constantly is telling us stories where a relatively few in number of people, such as Gideon, was able to accomplish tremendous feats simply because they were the best of the best, and they were grounded in the Father, and they had great courage. There's a scripture, I think, that says, one with Yahweh is a majority. My dad used to tell me something very similar. He would say, a man with conviction is a majority. And I found that to be so true in my professional life, that your conviction often will win the day, even though there's a whole room full of people against you. When you stand firm, the wicked flee, exactly as the book says, right?
Yep, that's right. Amen.
So, well, I've had you on for almost an hour. I don't know what your schedule is for today, Larry, but if you've got anything else you want the people to hear, we're not really on a fixed time schedule. This is, it's completely open, but I didn't know if you had something else you wanted to cover today or not.
Well, no, I don't, but, I wanted to tell your audience that if they wanted to keep up to date on how that Bible Mastery Bootcamp, the DVD series, is coming along, we do give updates as to our progress, and if they want to get informed about that, they can go to our website and just sign up on our master list, and once in a while we send them, our blog articles here and there, but we don't inundate their email with all kinds of stuff. But if they do want an update to see how it's going and when it anticipated launch is going to be, they're encouraged to sign up, and we'll let them know.
Okay. Well, very good. For the folks out there interested in maybe in some way helping with the effort, what's the best way to get a hold of you and, make that happen?
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, they can go to our website, yourbiblicalheritage.com, and there is a place, a contact form there that they can contact us. And if they want to give a gift to support the research and the work that we're doing, that would be most appreciated, because the more help we get, the more time we can spend to get this out as quickly as possible. And there's a button on there on that they can send a gift if they'd like. And again, it would be most appreciated. And I think it's going for a work that I think is going to make a tremendous difference.
Well, I've got very good feelings about it because, like I said, I've known you for a long time, Larry. You're probably one of the most stellar individuals I've ever met, and your work is always excellent. And so I'm looking forward to getting the books myself and reading them, and encourage others to do the same. And of course, when the DVD is available, I'm going to get that as well. So, we'll join forces in that way. I'll certainly put the information out to as many folks as I've got all over the earth. Plant seeds. This will be a valuable tool for doing that. Anything to wake our people up, for gosh sakes. I mean, I am so sick of the ignorance and the apathy and the acquiescence of our people to the criminal element. I mean, it's like, how much more innocent blood has to be shed before we get off our asses? I really, really want to know. I just read, you know, the article about the FBI agent and his wife that he was getting ready to testify. They end up dead. Like, we don't know who did this. There was an older couple in New Jersey. Their house is leveled in an explosion. And the media says it was a gas explosion. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. A gas explosion doesn't level a bit. And then you find out that this woman was getting ready to testify against the Clinton Foundation. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that there's something fishy in Denmark here, something smelling fishy in Denmark. So, you know, it's just, how much of this do we have to take before the people decide that enough is enough, the righteous need to stand up, enough of these politicians and these cucks and these traitors and these bankrupt individuals that pretend to be our leaders when in fact they are not. I've told people for years, the only legitimate government is a government that upholds God's law, period. If it doesn't uphold, and William Blackstone said just as much, if a law doesn't conform to God's law, it's no law at all. And one of the things that you mentioned, your Greek contact or your professor, I was going to mention that earlier. I remember reading years and years ago that at William and Mary College, back in the days when we were colonies, it was a seminary. Mm-hmm. And to be a freshman at William and Mary College, you had to be able to read, write, speak, and debate in ancient Greek.
Yeah, interesting. Yep.
Now, isn't that something? Back in the 1600s, at a major university, which was a seminary, the entering freshmen had to prove that they were completely literate in ancient Greek. And obviously, that's because the only legitimate manuscripts that we had to go by was the Septuagint at that time. And so they had to know the Greek because English does not properly represent many of the Greek terms.
Would
you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You have to go back to the original language and get that context there. It's so critical. And, you know, I think what we try to do in the books and also we'll be doing in the DVD teaching is we actually take these Greek words and help these people to understand in plain language what it meant at the time and the context and what in which it was used. And that gives them a foundation of knowledge and understanding that they're not going to get from just reading the English text.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Well, it's, again, it's a journey, and people have to be truth seekers. I don't know if you know Bill Holter, but he's an economist. I listen to every one of his interviews I can find because he's probably one of the most level-headed and I think accurate. He predicted in January of 2017 that 2017 would be the year of the truth bomb, and it certainly was. And he predicted this January that 2018 would be the year that truth matters. And really, if you boil it down, that's the essence of what we're talking about.
Exactly correct.
Right. When truth matters, then people will be looking for the information like you have in your book series. They're going to want to know, where have I been lied to? What is the truth? Why are my children getting autism? Why are my family members dying of cancer when, 30, 40, 50 years ago, it was almost, it was a very minor thing. Very, very minority of people suffered from these things. And I love the people, they sit out there and they go, well, that's because we didn't have the ability to determine that that was the disease.
We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Oh, my God.
You may not hear everyone on the call. You will be prompted when the conference is reconnected.
Oh, God. You're still there, Larry? Hello? Oh, God. Here we go again.
I'm here.
Jimmy, you're there. Okay.
Jimmy's here. Yeah, but yeah, Pastor Dan, I've been using this service as my call bridge for years, and it seems like every time we touch a sore subject, this error comes up, sir.
Oh.
I'll talk to you off air about this, but yes.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jimmy. How about that? So, we must be over the target since we are getting flack. Now we've had it happen twice. And we're near the end of the program anyway. I don't want to tie up Larry because I know he's an extremely busy individual as well as most of the audience. So, this is a good breaking point since we lost contact with... Oh, wait a minute here. I think we got Larry back. Larry, are you back? It shows you're back. Can you hear me?
Is he muted?
No, he's... Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Well, that's funny because I got two entries for you on the screen. That's weird. That's never happened before.
Yeah.
So
I didn't hear anything on the other end, so I thought we got it cut off again.
Yeah, we did. It was, and Jimmy up in Tampa said that he's been using free conference call for a long time, and it's very typical whenever he's having a conference, if you get into a delicate subject, that this sort of thing happens. So, and it looks like we just lost Larry again. So, again, instead of going through all this rigmarole, I'll get a hold of Larry and apologize. We'll go ahead and end the interview at this point. Close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. Thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. For those that listen to the downloads, we pray the words are encouraging and the information is going to be useful. Larry and his wife and the team of folks up there in Idaho are doing a wonderful, wonderful thing to create this series of books and the DVD to educate our people. Ignorance is our problem. Our founding fathers said that you cannot be ignorant and free. Can't happen. It's an oxymoron. So we fight the darkness with truth. Truth cuts like a double-edged sword. And Father, we ask your blessing on Larry and his ministry. We also ask a blessing on Jimmy over there in Tampa, to watch out for his ministry and his programming and his businesses. We ask for your guidance in everything we say and do, Father, and we also ask for protection from our enemies, and we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.